To recapture some of those glorious days of steam, I tracked down former Dursley donkey driver John Humphreys in the garden of his home in Wootton-under-Edge.
I haven't long been passed for driving, 1954, and I was only about 22. And Bertram Mill Circus had a travelling circus travelling all over Britain. Well, we went down light engine with the donkey, took the coaches off the main line, and brought it up to Dursley. Well, the noise of the animals, there was lions, tigers, full-grown elephants, was absolutely unbelievable. We had a job to make it to Dursley, but when we got by Lister's Foundry, which is a big-ass bend, all the elephants had been thrown over one side, and it looked as if they were going to come off the road. And the coach behind that was going the other way. We thought, blimey, we're never going to make it. So we did finally make it, and we put them into a dead end where they could open up the coaches. Well, they dare not open them because they were full of terrified animals. The roaring of the lions and tigers and elephants was something that Dursley people had never heard before, and they must have wondered what on earth was going on. However, eventually, when it quietened down, they opened the elephant doors and nothing happened. The circus people formed a big circle in the station car park, and then all of a sudden the elephants took fright and charged out. Now, who's going to stop a load of frightened elephants? They charged all up Long Street, and people going down Long Street must have thought, what the hell was that went by me then? I can't believe it. It was a load of elephants. Where they ended up, I don't know. But there used to be a policeman up at Dursley then, directing the traffic. Well, I'm sure if he was there, he had to run for his life. I don't know where they stopped eventually, but I dare say it was about halfway to Gloucester.
When did you start driving the Dursley donkey then, John?
1952.
And how long were you at it?
Well, I was driving more or less nearly all the time after that. And when Bichon Act the line, about 60 or 61, I'm not certain of the date, I got sent to Gloucester. And I was driving on the main line then from Bristol, Temple Meads to Derby, and also everywhere.
Now, the Dursley donkey was an 060 tank engine, wasn't it?
Well, it was very famous, really, because it was the last type of engine, number one freight, left on passenger work in the whole of Britain. And I bought a book the other day, a railway book, and it shows you two of the engines, the actual Dursley Duncan engines, are still running in the Forest of Dean. Dean Forest Railway. That's 4126, I think it was, and 4127. And there was 4-8 as well.
What was your routine as a driver of the Dursley donkey? Did you get there at sort of 5 o'clock in the morning into the engine shed?
Actually, there was a man, a lighter up, but he got the sack. And us drivers used to go on and light the fire 1 o'clock in the morning. The first train wasn't till about 6 o'clock. Then we would be relieved about 11 o'clock. And then a Gloucester man would take over for a few short time, and then the afternoon man would come on, 2 o'clock, the Dursley man would come on, and it was alternate shifts like that.
Mm. How did you actually light up the engine?
Well, it's exactly the same as lighting a fire in your grate. You had little wood-burning things, a collection of sticks and sawdust and paraffin all mixed up with it. You put a couple of these in. You cover the grate of the fire with coal, make a little hole, put one of these, two of these in, and some wood on top, and that would light the engine fire.
These were fire lighters,
yeah.
Sort of thing, sophisticated fire lighters.
Yeah.
And how much coal would it burn in the course of a day going up and down?
Oh, that's really a hell of a lot. I dare say, with a 20-ton wagon, that would last us about 2 days.
Mm.
I mean, the amount of traffic that was coming up to Dursley, which was unbelievable. Every siding between Gloucester and Bristol at the stations was full up with traffic waiting to come up to Dursley. and it was said, jokingly, to be the only link with the outside world. Everything came up by rail. There were no lorries then. In fact, when I came up, they still had the stables, and they'd just done away with the horses. They're going around to all the farms and the factories.
Right.
But they did have these three-wheel lorry things, remember?
Horses. Scammels, or something,
yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
I think they called them horses, actually.
Yes, that's sort of articulated lorry type, little articulated lorries with three wheels, a wheel on the front.
Yeah, and a trailer behind.
Yeah. In between hauling passenger coaches up and down the line, what did you have to do from the freight point of view?
You didn't have any time. When I came up here in 1949, the amount of traffic coming up, the station yard was chock-a-block the whole of the time. There just wasn't room to get any more in there, and it's quite a big yard. See, the railway supplied Lister's factory. They had their own private sidings, churn works for timber. Another, we called it no man's land. That was for pig iron, sand, and other things. And then they had the new shed, which was a whole train load of goods being loaded up all day. They're going all over Britain.
I see. So that you brought in the raw materials to Lister's, and presumably Maudsley's as well. Up to
Yes. And there was Champions, carpet factories there, all shops. Everything was supplied by that little train.
And then you were taking out the finished diesel engines and harrows and separators and auto trucks.
When I first came up there, we were taking away whole train loads of electric light. You know, in the war, searchlights. Listers were still making them and shipping them out abroad.
Really?
Every day a train load of them left.